next on Free Radio St. Cruz. Yes, it's Bathroom Spears Broadsides on 96.3 FM. 2 hours of talk, tapes, interviews, and live jabber at you on the air with me. I'm your host, Bathroom Spear, Robert Morris. Stay tuned. Song here on Free Radio, or on Bathroom Spears Broadside's little section of Free Radio. It's quite a grim Thursday. It looks like a war here, there, and everywhere, thanks to some retaliatory activity. It looks like it's hard to tell. I haven't read the reports, but preliminary reports make me pretty anxious and pretty dumbfounded. Responding to terrorists by bombing population centers. I'm not quite sure what's going on. Again, I don't have the information yet, so I can't comment on it. I just got back from Berkeley, where I was up there at a rally, a kind of an official, it's not quite accurate to call it a right-wing rally, but it was a rally on behalf of a bookshop owner named Andy Ross, who is to Berkeley what Neil Coonerty is to Santa Cruz. Some, of course, see Neil Coonerty as a heroic figure in the sense that he opposes the chain bookstore, successfully opposing Crown Books. And in that respect, I certainly support independent book publishers. They give a broader selection. The money comes back to local folks. It's a way to avoid these crazy chains that are now taking more than 80% of the profits in California, according to a recent story in the East Bay Express. However, Neil Coonerty also means something else to homeless activists and civil rights advocates. He was the man above any other on the city council who was most responsible for giving us the sit on the sidewalk, go to jail ordinances in 1994, something I'm kind of reviewing. If you read the magazine or the new street paper, the street zines, it's not called Stage Struck, it's called Star Struck, that's it. You'll see my two-part story, actually soon to be a three-part story, about the sitting ban. And I acknowledge Neil Coonerty's part in that. Similarly, up in Berkeley, Andy Ross and Cody's Bookshop has become a focal point on Telegraph Avenue as the right-wing merchant politician police alliance coming around into election time is trying to drum up support for, it's kind of a perennial issue in Berkeley, and kind of an anti-homeless drumbeat, also an anti-young drumbeat. The idea of new laws being proposed to sweep away poor and young people from Telegraph Avenue. A sitting ban, for instance, was proposed that was defeated by the city council, and the police yet for the last 2 months have been engaging in a thing in Berkeley called Operation Avwatch. We thought we'd seen the last of it at the end of July. I just learned, however, it had been secretly extended through August 15th, and we don't even know if it's over yet, according to council member Chris Worthington. Anyway, this demonstration today involved some alleged anti-Semitic graffiti that Andy Ross was beating the drums about. Ross is, has had kind of people in front of his store hosed down. He has been leading an instrumental in trying to push for a new anti-homeless law, making it illegal to sit down on Telegraph Avenue and elsewhere in Berkeley business districts. He's been pretty upfront and has prompted a lot of hostility, as Neil Coonerty did, by supporting this kind of, to me, clearly anti-homeless position. However, he was essentially defeated. In fact, last week, the courts, well, the city attorney said they couldn't help Andy in his campaign to not even have people lean against his building because it was a public area. I'm not quite sure of all the details of that decision, but he suffered another loss and bitterly blamed the city for some kind of conspiracy that they were in league with the unwashed masses of the streets. What he's done now is, and in the last couple of weeks, on I think four occasions, someone chalked a swastika on the sidewalk in front of Ross's bookshop. Another woman chalked the Star of David, and there was a little golden cross kind of painted in his window, like, I don't know how big it was, but it's supposed to be relatively small, the window of his shop. His shop has many windows, and one of the corner of one of the windows actually was the greenhouse right outside along Telegraph Avenue. And his response to this was to scream anti-Semitism, that here, you know, everyone is suddenly has to be aware that he's being targeted because of his religion. This is hate speech, hate crime. This is Nazi skinhead gangs. And, of course, the newspapers connected this with the homeless, and he, of course, denies that it has anything to do with the homeless, of course, but he's just trying to protect himself from hate speech. And in the course of, I don't know, it was a, not a day, but within 4 or 5 days, he was able to get together the mayor, the chancellor, the police chief, a whole bunch of religious figures to essentially support him in his, well, they didn't say they supported his anti-homeless positions. No, no, they just support him in opposing hate speech, but they didn't mention that they opposed Ross's hate actions. Ross's organizing against the homeless, Ross's actions taken to hose away the homeless and to degenerate new, harsher laws that restrict the civil liberties of homeless people. I did get some tape on that. I'm going to be playing some tape on that. I just got back just 15 minutes ago, so I'm kind of doing a dash in the studio, rather impromptu, so if I'm a little bit unprepared, that's why. Also, I want to apologize that we don't have a phone line in here yet. They were supposed to put one in yesterday, and for some reason, it hasn't happened. I'm preparing to send some Hawk missiles into the phone company in order to let them know they can't get away with this, so, taking a cue from our great leader in Washington, and apparently fed up with the blue dress situation. Now he's decided to make everybody blue or blood red, whatever. I keep going back to a situation that I got to admit I don't know much about, so I'm going to wait on that one. Let's hear for the moment an interview we were unable to hear last time. We were listening to Wanda Knight, you may remember. Wanda is a woman who has told a pretty grim story about discrimination at the beach boardwalk, and we're going to be looking in on that, the end of that story. We're going to be repeating a bit of that, although we've kind of pretty much covered it in the interview we were able to play on Sunday. The show also airs at 11 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. But let's listen to Donna Dice of the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz. That's an organization we've been getting regular reports from. Haven't heard too much from him recently, so let's get an update there.
Well, with us we have Donna Dice, who's one of the chief hunches in the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, or TRUSC. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
So what's cooking with TRUSC? I think last we heard you've been aced out by the county and refused your office space, and you were still trolling for $1, $2, and $3 memberships in order to pay for, I guess, the postage to send out informational news to people who are being subject to unlawful detainers, which are legal actions by landlords to evict people. What's happening now?
Well, we have a case that has been actually ongoing since March. A big landlord named Norman Green, who owns a bunch of acres up on the summit. He's an ex-cop. He was fired from the San Jose Police Force for police brutality. And he basically is a law unto himself, goes around packing his gun, and, you know, he's done things like clear-cut trees on somebody else's property at 7 o'clock at night, and build places to rent that are not inspected or, you know, approved by the building department, and renting out trailers with no septic tank, and siphoning a spring off of somebody else's property and selling the water, and threatening people. He killed 8 dogs. If neighbors wouldn't cooperate with him, he would go shoot the dog and put it on their doorstep.
That sounds like an old American pioneer, kind of man that makes us all proud.
Well, must have been, his ancestors must have, like, been criminals or something.
Hmm. Maybe they were rulers in England. You know, after all, rulers get pretty arrogant and tend to do what they want to do, and then they get mad when people don't obey them. But I don't want to speculate. So what is your involvement? You're just a tenants' rights union. What tenants have complained to you, and what's the tenant issue?
Well, one of the tenants had rented from him. She had a video, and she showed all the violations on it and how the previous tenant had left the place. And she has documentation, all the red tags that have been on the buildings that the county has done nothing about for quite a period of time, dating back several years. And we went up and saw the supervisor for that district.
Which supervisor?
Marty Wormhouse.
Oh, yes.
Not Marty.
Jan Butz?
Yeah, her guy who always, or has been known to say that eviction doesn't lead to homelessness.
Oh, really?
And that a lot of tenants' problems are minor compared to the criminal cases that go before the judges.
Mm-hmm.
That's his attitude. And so we brought, after the building department wouldn't take the video, or be helpful, we took it up to him,
mm-hmm.
and he actually did take the video,
mm-hmm.
and definitely showed probable cause of what was going on up there.
What was the response of this aide to Supervisor Butz?
Well, he was going to, like, jump right on it. He left her a couple messages before she got home. This was, like, about 2 weeks ago, and they were going to get a warrant, and the Metro was going to go with them, and, you know.
This is the same Metro that promised to do a long, extensive story on the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz and doesn't mention you at all.
Well, there's another guy there that is interested in this kind of story, but nevertheless, journalist's a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
So, they kind of fell behind, and then she went to court and won a judgment against them. So, you know, you have to keep pushing.
Who won a judgment against who?
Supervisor. She won a judgment against the landlords because she had moved out, like, on the second.
Now, wait a minute, Jan Butz? I'm sorry, who won a judgment against who?
The tenant.
The tenant who was giving the video to the supervisor's aide,
right,
won a judgment against the crazy landlord.
Right. Mm-hmm. After the county delayed on actually following through with everything they said they were going to do.
Right.
Since this guy is, you know.
What kind of a judgment did he win? Did she win?
It was better than anything she hoped for, and the other side was totally crushed, and the judge enjoyed that. And
which judge?
McAdams.
And McAdams, well, good for him. And what do we know what the judgment was, or was it secret?
Well, I don't know specifically,
mm-hmm.
just that she totally won beyond her expectations. And
so who's going to bring back the lives of the dogs that this guy snuffed out?
Well, the least we can do is try to publicize.
What's his name again?
Norman Green.
Have you any independent confirmation that this is actually true? Are these all?
Yes, I've seen the video and I've seen all the red tags.
So you've seen that this man has presided over unsafe or housing conditions?
Yes, and been a threat to.
Have you seen dead
dogs? And trying to commit some kind of insurance fraud by trying to say the place was damaged with over $10,000 worth of damages after Judy moved out.
Mm-hmm. Now, is
I trashed the place, and it was substandard anyway, so he's just trying to get a false insurance claim.
Now, what about the dogs? Do we have any indication of the truth of that? I'm sorry to keep going back to them, but I like...
As far as evidence about the dogs, there's a couple neighbors that want to testify.
Did anybody actually see him kill these dogs?
I don't know.
Okay, well, let's be fair about that. I should probably call him and get his side, but...
Well, from what the county supervisor's office said, he doesn't care about anybody or anything. And
okay, well, maybe we will give him a call for the next show. Again, once more, his name is...
Norman Green.
Norman Green. Maybe I'll see if he's interested in being on the air to talk about this and respond to these charges.
I doubt it very highly.
What else has Trust been doing? This sounds like a high-profile case. Anything in terms of changing tenant law here to establish the long-awaited Tenants' Bill of Rights?
Oh, well, that is such a long process. And, you know, we do need more hands-on with that. Marco is drafting some letters.
Marco Maroney, one of your key workers there, isn't he out of town?
Yeah, he's in New York. And I have some stuff that I'm gathering to send to Christine Minahan, and if there's anybody out there that would like to tell their tenant story, they can write to Christine Minahan at the care of Western Center Law of Poverty in Sacramento. She wants to hear stories, tenant stories from Santa Cruz County, because she basically only gets input from San Francisco and L.A.
So for those who want that address more clearly, give a call to TRUST, Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, at 426-0644. That, again, is go get your pencils.
And it is, you know, helpful to
426-0644.
Horror story with the landlord. In fact, somebody told me the other day, I don't know anybody that doesn't have problems with their landlord.
Right. Well, what about you? You actually have survived two retaliatory evictions, right?
Yes.
And have you been able to maintain peace with your landlord since then? Or?
Well, I don't have to see the property manager, which is good. She didn't send me one letter because I let my friend's beautiful Pyrenees dog sit on my porch. And plus, I don't want to set a bad example. We can't have pets, you know. And I wrote her back a letter, and I wrote a letter to the owner telling him that we need access. They put up a new fence, and now we don't have access to the river.
This is the river that our bold and law-abiding city council has made it illegal to stand, sit, walk, or lie near after dark.
And I don't see anybody out there patrolling, so I don't know if they do periodically, but there's definitely nobody standing out there all night.
Well, I know that Skidmark Bob, one of the Free Radio Santa Cruz hosts and cop watchers and reporters, was actually driven away from the area as an observer and a reporter who was trying to observe police conduct around one of their ongoing drug prohibition war scam stings, where they're using our tax dollars to go after the so-called drug menace, of course, while leaving the alcohol and tobacco folks to do their deadly work. It may sound kind of polemical of me to talk that way, but I think when tobacco causes 400,000 deaths a year, alcohol causes over 100,000, and all the rest of the drugs put together cause less than 5,000, it is a clear misappropriation of priorities. Anyway, so I'm beginning back to tenants' rights.
I think so too, especially alcohol, because it caused so much aggressive and violent behavior. You know?
It's true. Alcohol is in moderation, actually, it can help your heart and so forth, a glass of wine with dinner, but in terms of it's being pumped as a recreational drug in the U.S. and backed by aggressive competitive sports groups, it becomes a deadly kind of thing. And, of course, is a significant factor in domestic violence and so forth.
Yes, it usually destroys families. And once it gets, you know.
Anything else happening over around tenants' rights that we should know about? Anything in the upcoming cases that people can go to court to follow? Any kind of help you're looking for?
Well, help is always good, especially since Paul and Eve, they took off for Tahoe, so they probably won't be back for a few days. And actually, on Friday, I had a record number of unlawful detainers filed. There was 12 of them.
Wow. And how does this
go? One of those tenants called because, you know, some lawyers are bold enough to take two or three unlawful detainers on, and They think they're going to have a nice little walkthrough and keep the sports car tuned.
I see. You're talking about lawyers who are representing landlords, right?
Yes, and we've got to know most of them pretty well. So.
Would you say that these lawyers are venal or corrupt or misguided or simply kind of amoral?
Definitely immoral.
Mm-hmm. And would you include among that number the infamous Reed Chance?
He's one of the nicer ones. At least him and Flops are willing to negotiate, so I tell people that. They're not the worst of the bunch.
And who are the worst of the bunch?
Well, one firm that's supposed to be difficult is the Basso Boss Hard firm. David Brick is kind of a rhyming word, and,
I see. You mean like Brick the Prick? Is that what you're saying? We don't banter words here on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Well, I gave you the opportunity to fill that in.
Yeah.
And let's see, there's a few that, if you know them, like Ernie Fox and James Martin, you know how to deal with them.
Well, in order to get more information, I guess folks can call you at 426-0640. That's the Tenants Rights Union of Santa Cruz. And we're talking to Tenants Rights Union worker Donna Dice. Donna, anything else you want to conclude with before we swoop on to the next subject?
Yeah, we have forms on the computer, too, so, you know, if you know somebody that's going through some type of eviction thing, we do have the forms that can give them more time, at least, to relocate if the situation is unsolvable with the landlord.
So give a call to get help with forms, get information about your rights as a tenant, to get some cooling off if you're a landlord, and to help out if you want to help those who are...
Answering the phone is always nice, you know, having somebody answer the phone.
So if you have a melodious voice, or even if you have a gravelly voice, give a call to Donna Dice at 426-0644. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
Again, the number for Trust, Tenants Rights Union of Santa Cruz, is 426-0644. If you miss any of these numbers, if you have any questions about anything you've heard on the air, if you have something you want to put on the air around civil rights for the poor, give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's the call-in for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. You can do that anytime. And hopefully you can give a call to the radio station next time this show comes on, which will be Sunday at 11. They were supposed to hook up our line yesterday, but they didn't, apparently. Voicemail for Free Radio Santa Cruz is 427-4523, in case you want to get involved. And I was urging people at the Beach Flats meeting in the center of Beach Flats, meeting that happened last night, to get a radio show. Come to the collective meeting on Monday night at 9 o'clock. That's important. Give a call to 427-4523 for more information about that meeting. It's really important for Beach Flats folks to have a show, in my opinion, so they can speak out in the next month. It's going to be the crucial period before the City Council ramrods things through. I was suggesting what's needed around the Beach Flats issues are weekly protests of increasing size and volume and creativity. Don't wait for City Council hearings, of which, by the way, there is one tonight at the Community Center in the Beach Flats for anyone who wants to go at 7 o'clock. Activist Barbara Jackson called me on the phone and reminded me of this, and of course it was mentioned last night at Una Bear's house, where there were 30-odd people who kind of crammed the small room and heard a mostly Spanish presentation with some English translation about from the residents of the Beach Flats. Really a remarkable dialogue that went on there. A series of expressions of outrage and concern from mothers living in the Beach Flats, mostly Spanish-speaking women, some men, as well as other community members listening. That was last night at the Beach Flats. And tonight again at 7 o'clock, you can go down and hear, I guess it's a report on the housing element of the Beach Flats plan. For those of you who are interested, go down to Park Place. I believe it's, I don't know if it's 212 Park Place, but it's the community center in the Beach Flats. All you have to do is go down there and ask and make your way there. And it starts in about half an hour for those of you interested in covering that particular issue. I won't be there, naturally. I'll be here doing the show, and hopefully I'll be giving you a little commentary on what happened last night, which may be perhaps even more important than anything the city council trots out tonight. They have a kind of a planned agenda that they usually do, a sort of a litany of praise for their plan and reassurance and everything's going to be taken care of. But in fact, nothing in the, this is my understanding from people like Jane Yokoyama, Phil Beer, and others, is nothing is really written down or guaranteed at all in the housing element for the people who are being displaced from the beach flats. Over 150 people are being displaced, or actually 150 residences, I think. In the first element, there's a smaller number, but even they aren't going to get assurance of any kind of housing that they can afford. Some of them may get access to apartments that they probably may not be able to afford. And it's essentially a scam that will give away significant amounts of money to Charlie Canfield as part of his development for the beach boardwalk, which we've talked about in past shows and we'll be talking about in future shows. In fact, I'd like to focus on the housing element, on what's in it for the folks that are being displaced. What's the change in the situation for people seeking housing in Santa Cruz? Because this show has been covering the rights of those without homes, and it's kind of discouraging to learn that our city council, instead of decriminalizing homelessness, is now creating more homeless people in order to placate, please, and fluff a corporate magnate, you know, a hometown millionaire, Charlie Canfield, and his boardwalk. I have, by the way, invited proponents of the beach flats plan, including Eric Larson, Scott Kennedy, and through Scott Kennedy, Michael Hernandez and Michael Rotkin, to appear on this show. I've heard a deafening silence from them. They may feel that this is much too small time for them to appear on, although I have had Rotkin on the air in the past debating the sleeping ban, and Kennedy has three times promised and three times broken his promise to come on the show. A little fed up with old Kennedy there. But anybody who's listening to this show who wants to speak on behalf of the beach flats, and that includes the inimitable killer of the Coral Street campground, Daryl Darling, they can just give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. I'd be happy to have them on the air. But so far, in spite of this new organization, apparently they put together, Ocean Street Organization, Friends of Ocean Street, I'm not sure what it's called, mentioned in the Metro, nary a peep out of the proponents. Well, as I said, I'm kind of doing makeshift damage control today, but there is something I've been wanting to do for a long time. One of my favorite bits when I was a kid was the famous Abbott and Costello Who's On First routine. Well, thanks to the miracle of audio tape, I've been able to secure their old radio show, and just draw close to your radio and turn up your volume, because now, in a completely irrelevant addition to the show, simply because I am the lord and master of Bathrobe's Piers Broadsides, the show you're listening to on 96.3 FM Free Radio, you're going to get to hear Abbott and Costello, Who's On First.
Costello, telegram for Luke Costello.
Here, boy.
Out of the way, Fatso. I'm looking for Luke Costello.
Boy, he is Luke Costello.
The famous Luke Costello.
Precisely.
The one and only Luke Costello.
Yes.
That's me.
Gee, I listen to you on the radio every Thursday night. You break me up when you say, how do you do?
Wait a minute! Wait a minute! That ain't me, that's the mad Russian.
You're saying?
I'm
who's gonna take this telegram?
I'll take it.
It's collect, $14.
He'll take it. Don't give it to me. Here, boy. Hey, Costello, this telegram is from Joe DiMaggio. Listen to this. Dear Lou, as you know, I am recovering from a foot operation. I would appreciate you taking my place on New York Yankees until I recover. Please report to the Yankee Stadium immediately. Signed, Joe DiMaggio.
Abbott. Hey, that's wonderful. The news. That's the news I've been waiting for. I'm going to be a big league ball player.
Yes.
DiMaggio probably heard about my playing with the Cucamonga Wildcats last year.
You a ball player? I don't believe it, Costello. You know nothing about ball.
Oh, no. I eat baseball. I live baseball. All night when I'm asleep, I dream about baseball.
Don't you ever dream about girls?
What, and miss my turn up at bat?
No!
Yes. And another thing, Abbott. What page are you on?
Never mind what page you're on.
Another thing, Abbott. Not only that, in Paterson, New Jersey, I worked out with a baseball team. I used to stay out till 4 o'clock in the morning.
Why did you stay out till 4 o'clock in the morning?
This was a girls' baseball team.
Costello, if you're going to play with the New York Yankees, you really have to know something about big league baseball, Lou.
I know all about baseball.
All right, suppose there's a left-handed pitcher pitching. What do you do?
I put in a right-handed batter.
Now, suppose there's a right-handed pitcher pitching.
I put in a left-handed batter.
But now I trick you. I take out the right-handed pitcher and put in a left-handed pitcher.
Then I double-cross you. I take out my left-handed batter and put in a right-handed batter.
Now, wait a minute. Where are you getting all those right-handed batters?
The same place where you're getting all those left-handed pitchers.
Oh.
Hello, Bud. Hello, Louis, honey.
It's Marilyn Maxwell.
Hello, Marilyn. I've got great news. I'm going to play ball with the New York Yankees. I'm taking you along as a pitcher.
Oh, now, Costello, Marilyn Maxwell can't pitch.
Oh, no? You should see all the guys she struck out that were trying to get the first base.
Ah, no.
This kid has got some nice curves.
Oh, Louis, you're so sweet. But I do hope you be careful. You know, big league baseball is a very dangerous game.
Oh, what's dangerous about baseball, Marilyn?
Well, I read in the paper this morning that in the opening game in Boston, 5 players died on base.
Marilyn, you don't seem to know much about baseball. Let me show you how to play indoor baseball. First, I put my left arm around your waist. Then I snuggle my head on your shoulder like this. Then I press my cheek against your cheek.
Oh, wait a minute, Costello. That's not the way to play indoor baseball.
How do you like that? Every season, new rules.
Well, goodbye and good luck, Louis. I just know you'll become famous with those New York Yankees.
Marilyn's right, Costello. This is your chance to become famous. Now, you've got a good job as a baseball player, and you might find your proper niche in life.
Yes, I might. I mean, after all, if I find my... What will I find?
A niche, a niche. You'll find your niche.
Abbott, when I find an itch, I scratch it.
No. What in the world are you talking about?
An itch. I once had the 7-year itch.
What happened?
I scratched real fast and got rid of it in 3.5 years.
Well, I'm not talking about that kind of an itch. I mean an itch in life. An itch in life is what everyone is looking for. Anyone who is successful has found an itch.
Well, if that's the case, I know an Airedale that is doing very well.
Listen to me, Costello. When I say an itch, I don't mean an itch like you have when you have an itch. I mean an itch like you have when you have a notch.
Oh, you don't mean an itch like an itch when you have an itch. You mean an itch like you have when you have a notch.
Now you've got it.
Now I've got it. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Costello, why do you mash everything up like that? You're the most mixed up man I ever saw.
Well, maybe it's because I fell on my mother's mix master this morning. She had it set for mashed potatoes.
Oh,
mother.
I know that. You idiot. All I'm trying to tell you is that a niche is a notch. Catch?
Natch.
All right. Now you know that an itch is a notch. You know that both of them are the same.
Yes.
Now, I could have a notch and you could have an itch.
Yes, nitch to me and notch to you.
Yeah. I'm only trying to impress you to the importance of being a big league ball player and having a good income. Did you ever draw a nice big fat salary?
No, I never drew a fat salary, but I once sketched a skinny tomato.
No. So when I say draw, I don't mean draw like you draw when you draw. I mean draw like you draw when you draw a salary.
Abbott, let me smell your breath.
Mm-hmm.
Just as I thought. You've drawn one too many already.
Now, listen to me, please. When I say you draw a salary, I mean you draw money.
Now he's got me drawing money. Wait till the FBI finds out about this. I'll probably draw 20 years in a clink. And they don't feed you any celery in there either.
Costello, when I say you draw money, I mean you draw like you draw money to spend it. Not like when you draw on an easel.
That's what I always say. With money, it's easel come, easel go.
Everybody draws money. I draw money. I've been drawing money for years. My brother draws money. He's been drawing money for years.
You draw and your brother draws?
Certainly.
Just as I thought. You and your brother are an old pair of drawers.
Experience is the best teacher. It happened shortly after the end of the war. Two cigarettes glow in the dusk on the veranda of a country house as a man and woman are chatting.
And this, of course, is an ancient cigarette ad from the days when they had doctors on the air recommending cigarettes. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3. You've not fallen into a time warp. And I'm still waiting for Who's On First, a classical bit by Abbott and Costello intended to amuse you before I pour on some more of the grim news around what's cooking on the homeless front. We're also going to be hearing an interview from Radio Watson, the Watsonville free radio station, recorded about a week and a half ago. So stay tuned. Don't go away.
It was Camel's rich, full flavor and cool.
Interestingly enough, Camel's, you see here this ancient ad for Camel's in the background. We actually have ongoing ads. The latest ad I saw was embedded in a movie called Return to Paradise, which some of you may be seeing downtown at the Cinema 9. Good movie generally, but it has Camel cigarette ads in the middle of it. It's interesting. So they still haven't given up.
I tell the charms about Linda.
Uh-oh. I think I have kind of lost my way on this tape. So what I'm going to do is turn to Berkeley and what was happening today up there. As I described briefly, Berkeley is a city in the throes of continuing struggle, as many cities are, around the issue of how to deal with homeless people in public spaces, in the sense that some merchants want to remove them, want them gone, as here in Santa Cruz. It's sort of a combination of gentrification, exaggerated and distorted public safety concerns, anxiety and guilt that the homeless are there at all, like to see them out of sight, and the reverberations of the drug war, because homeless people around when drugs are being sold, there's the broken windows theory, which is that if you allow a neighborhood to look a little run down, it'll get worse and worse. More and more broken windows will appear. There's all kinds of rationalizations for what cities are doing, but the main point is that homeless people are being attacked and their civil liberties are being taken away in a systematic fashion. When it happens in as liberal a town as Santa Cruz, in an even more liberal town than Berkeley, it's really time to start getting concerned. So when I heard that Andy Ross, the Neil Coonerty of Berkeley, was getting a city-sponsored rally and cheering session today up in Berkeley, allegedly because of so-called anti-Semitic attacks on his store, I became concerned and wanted to investigate. I did so by phone, talking to a number of people, and went up to, in essence, challenge the official version of events, which I did. Talked to a lot of media people up there. Like, I got interviewed on 3 television stations and 2 radio stations and distributed a very, I think, accurate and effective flyer, which most everybody took home with them, and I'm very pleased with that. The issue again is the Berkeley City Council has a liberal majority. Actually, a classically liberal majority. They have voted down the law that Santa Cruz has accepted that makes it illegal to sit down on the sidewalk. That law was dumped about a month ago. But the police, under a conservative faction, because the mayor is not chosen by the council, she's voted by the voters, unlike in Santa Cruz, where the voters vote the council, but the council then votes the mayor. The mayor is a conservative that narrowly won, named Shirley Dean, who's running for re-election. She has been engaging in a kind of her own sitting ban funding activities when she's been telling the police to go out and remove people from Telegraph Avenue in a program called Operation AvWatch, which I've discussed on the show before. It involves using a green machine to hose down the avenue, which has been mainly under young people, repeatedly during the day to harass them, sending in animal control to seize their dogs, sending in mental health units to threaten to sees them for mental health problems. And until recently, and even today, there were, I saw 10 armed police officers in the area, well, 8 to 10, let's say. Huge concentrations of police in the Telegraph area that are reminiscent of police states like wartime Germany or some Central American countries. So today what I went up to see was I saw this huge cheering gallery for this Andy Ross person, who is the owner of Cody's Bookshop. There were four or five television stations there. The city walled off the streets or fenced off the street area and set up a huge platform. Must have cost them thousands of dollars to do it. The mayor was there. The other city council members were there, or some of them. Mucky mucks from different religious groups. Again, all responding to the theme that Andy Ross was being subjected to anti-Semitic attacks. Now, here in Santa Cruz, there's been some real concern about anti-Semitic and kind of white supremacist organizing. However, apparently that is not really going on in Berkeley. That is not really happening in Berkeley. What's happening in Berkeley is that Andy Ross has failed in his campaign to make it illegal to sit down on the avenue. And he's recently failed in making it illegal to sit near his property on the avenue because that's public space. So what he's doing now is he is obliquely attacking those by saying that a chalked swastika on the sidewalk, which is not vandalism, it may be unpleasant speech for some, it may not be unpleasant speech for others, because the swastika in this case was not a pro-Nazi symbol, according to street people I talked to, but it was an anti-police symbol that attacked the police's what they felt were Nazi-like sweeps of young people, unjustified harassment and violence against young people. And also they attacked Andy Ross for being, not for being Jewish, but for being a proponent and backer and instigator of that kind of behavior by the police and by the city officials. So it was just something of a hoax, a very well-organized hoax that drew into it a lot of well-intentioned people who have some legitimate fears and some very bad memories about the real Holocaust that happened in the Second World War and consumed the lives of 6 to 8 million Jewish people and millions of others as well, and used this to drum up kind of a phony support for Andy Ross and obliquely for his anti-homeless stance. Now, he was careful to say he wasn't doing this. It had nothing to do with homelessness. He simply wanted to express his concern about the inappropriateness of so-called hate speech and swastikas. But the fact is, that was the underlying agenda here in reality. Shirley Dean is running for re-election, this conservative mayor of Berkeley, this woman who was on the losing end of a vote and also on the losing end of getting an initiative to put on the ballot the sitting ban so that voters could overturn the Liberal City Council and make it a crime to sit down in Santa Cruz. She failed, so now she's using this anti-Semitism hook to frighten people, to mobilize conservative and progressive Jews and people concerned about hate speech, legitimately concerned about it. Anyway, what we're going to hear next is one of the council members, the most liberal council member, who also was on the platform. By the way, there were no homeless people on this platform. When Andy Ross was mentioned, he kind of shrugged and said, well, this isn't about homelessness. Of course, it's all about homelessness. The swastika, and I guess there was a Star of David that some woman, again, chalked on the sidewalk in front of his bookstore, which, according to street activist John Vance, was she had regarded it as a peace symbol rather than an anti-Semitic symbol. It sounds like a pretty strange thing, but some of the people in Santa Cruz on the streets are not all there. It certainly doesn't call for spending thousands of dollars and beating the drums of fear. And I don't know if we'd call it hate, but there was certainly a kind of a militant attitude of support for a man whose main claim to fame here in the last couple of years has been betraying the heritage of Cody, the man who started Cody's Books, who was pro-street communities, pro-street culture, who would never in his life have supported a law making it illegal to sit down on the sidewalk. We actually have an interview with Andy Ross we're going to play later, if I can, again, coordinate it. Again, I'm kind of struggling to do that. But let's tune in the midst of this rally that was held in Berkeley at noon, right after the bombing, by the way, happened, so people are a little upset with that, properly so. We're listening to, again, Council Member Chris Worthington. He's the council member for the Berkeley Telegraph area, the most liberal council member. I have criticized him on this station in the past for not speaking up strongly enough against this AvWatch program, for not supporting the rights of poor, homeless, and young people to sit down on the streets. And I was concerned that he was going to join in this chorus of support for Andy Ross and somehow apologize for a chalk-marked swastika on the street instead of asking Andy Ross to apologize for pressing an abusive set of policies and laws that violate the rights of more people every day than some wingnuts graffiti would do. We're not talking about vandalism, by the way, which actually defaced. We're talking about chalked stuff. There was one little gold cross that was painted, which Andy Ross took as a anti-Semitic or possibly anti-Semitic statement. That turned out to be by a kind of a wingnut artist who was simply painting his Christian faith, and underneath it he had some initials FTW, which meant feed the world. This is anti-Semitism. You know, it's not very impressive hate speech to dredge up an hour and a half demonstration involving the highest city officials, including...